I'm actually concentrating on the decree that Darius made. And some are very kind, they read this decree. And there's three F's. If we went through that decree, I felt there was three F's that we could look for. And the first one, I wonder what the first one could be in that reading. By chance, it's on the screen. Well done. It is the fear of God. Now, that's an interesting one, isn't it? The fear of God. Darius said to him, let all men know that they have to fear. And in my translation, it says tremble at God. You know, folks, we've sometimes missed this in the church these days. We don't teach that we have to have a fear of God. But it's not a cringing fear. It's an awesome fear. When I was little, my mum used to threaten me with my dad. Now, if you'd ever met my dad, he was a bit like William. He's the most mildest man and kindest man you've probably met. And to threaten me with my dad probably wasn't a good thing, but I had a fear of him. I wasn't cringing fear, but if she said, wait till your dad gets home, my sister and I would run upstairs and hide. And yet dad would never have done anything to us. But we had that fear. And the Bible tells us something. It says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So we've got that scripture in the Old Testament. The fear of the Lord will bring you wisdom if we fear God, if we have that reverence for God. And then in Acts, if we go to the New Testament, it says the churches grew in Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord. You ever notice that? And were comforted with the Holy Spirit. And they were multiplied. So the early church, they had a fear of God. And you know, this wasn't long after, and probably we'd have a fear if we saw this in our church. It wasn't long after when Ananias and Sapphira came along and they tried to lie to God. And say, right, we're going to give you this amount of money, but we're just going to hide this and not tell anyone. Folks, we can't hide sin from God. He sees all. And you know, they dropped down dead. No wonder they had a fear of God. I bet no one lied after that. So we have to have that healthy fear of God. And then in Philippians, it goes even further. It says, dear friends, as you have always obeyed and only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with... Wow. We have to work out our salvation by fear and trembling. What does that mean? It means we have to really watch how we are with God. You know, don't come and lie to him and say, Lord, I'm fine. Well, you know, there was two people. Remember, they went into the temple and one said, thank you, God, that I'm so fantastic, that I do everything I'm supposed to do, that you just love me. And then over one side, there was a man on his knees. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. You know, we can be a bit like that. We can find that some of us can get a bit religious. And God is looking for that humble person that will say, Lord, I know I am not everything, but by your grace and your salvation, I will be there at the end when you come back. That is the fear of God. And then Darius said another one. Can we go to the next slide? The faithfulness of God. He said, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. One of my favourite scriptures in Lamentations chapter 3 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Folk, God's faithfulness is abounding. What was the last words Jesus said to the church? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You are never on your own, whatever situation you find yourself in. And I've just got a couple of examples here. On the right here is Uncle Emmanuel and his family. And believe it or not, he's about 65 and he's been a slave all his life. And his family obviously were slaves with him. Well, just recently, some brothers went into his village and heard his story. And we were able to raise the money to pay his bond and he went free. And his words were, God is faithful. He had prayed for many years that God would release him and he could be a free man. Not for him, but for his family, actually. And they're free now. Praise God. That is the faithfulness of God. Over here is another lady. We send audio Bibles over to Pakistan. And she had been praying, and a friend had come to her this week and said, "Do you know anyone who has a Bible?" She said, "No." "Well, where can we find a Bible?" And she was illiterate. She couldn't read. And she said, "Well, we must just pray and believe God can bring a Bible." And that week, they spent much time praying, asking God to bring a Bible. And I don't believe in coincidences. It just happened. Imran and Kashif went to preach the gospel in that village and brought Bibles. And when they gave it to her, she wept. Can you imagine not having a Bible? When you get to 50, you know, and you don't have a Bible. You've never had a Bible. You've only had what people at the front is going to tell you about Jesus. And she wept. And there's many stories like that. The faithfulness of God. If I went round here, I'm sure you could all give me lots of examples of the faithfulness of God. But the Lord reminded me of something in my own life for the kids here. I got born again. I came to know Jesus when I was 13. I was only young. And God was so faithful in my school. And there was one instance when I was in sixth form. And I don't know why, but they voted me head girl for some unknown reason. And this girl who I was a little bit afraid of, I have to tell you, she came up, pranced up to me during the first lesson. And she said, "Right," she said, "we've had enough of those teachers telling us we have to wear school uniform." So she said, "We've got a petition and we're all going on strike at lunchtime. Sign the petition." Oh, and in my heart, I was thinking, "Lord, I know I can't sign that petition. I'm yours and I'm not going to be disobedient. You know, this would be wrong. This is wrong to go against the teachers." So I have to say, very trembling, said to her, "Well, actually, Caroline, you know I'm a Christian and I don't believe that's right." Well, she frunced off and told everyone, "Susan won't sign the petition." And I went in, I had a free period before lunch. And she said, "Well, you'll have no one on duty at lunchtime." She said, "You're on your own." So I went in before lunch and I just prayed and I said, "Lord, I'm on my own. And there's this to do and there's this to do and there's this to do. And I can't do it all on my own. Lord, you're going to have to help me." Well, this is how faithful God is. I thought, the first job, take year sevens to lunch. Now, our year sevens in Liverpool were quite rowdy. Probably are anywhere, but particularly in Liverpool. So I went over to the year seven classrooms and I couldn't believe it. You could have heard a pin drop. And I thought, "What's going on here?" And they were all lined up and they said, "It's all right, Susan, we've heard about what," I won't say her name, "has done, and we don't like her, so we're going to be good for you this lunchtime." So off they went in this single file to lunch. I just stood there with my mouth open thinking, "Wow, Lord." And then I thought, right, next thing is toilet duty, the smokers. So off I went to the toilets, and just outside were my favourite fifth form, who were the main culprits of smoking at lunchtime. I said, "What are you all doing?" "Don't you worry," they said, "no one will smoke this dinner time. We've heard about that petition. You go and be doing something else." I was like, "Wow, Lord." I thought, right, well, it's playground now. I've got to go into the playground and see if they're all right. Got out in the playground. Two of the Christian teachers at the school were out there and they said, "It's okay, Susan, we've heard what's going on. We're going to do playground duty for you." At this point, I was just like, "Wow, God is faithful." I came back into school and I thought, "Well, I've got no job, Lord." At that point, all the lower six came and said, "Why didn't you sign that petition?" I said, "Because I'm a Christian and I believe we have to be courteous and kind and not be rebellious." "Oh, well, we're taking our names off then." So one by one, by the time all that dinner time had finished, everyone but two people had taken the name off the petition and everyone was on playground duty. It was the best lunchtime we've ever had. And that, folks, is the faithfulness of God. And I could go round. I'm sure you've all got a testimony to share of that. So it doesn't matter how young or how old you are. God is faithful. Never forget that. No matter what situation you were in. We were in Israel. I was a missionary out in Israel for a short time. And we were on a bus into Jerusalem. And I didn't have my ID on me. And all these burly soldiers come on with the machine guns, brought it up to my face, and I just started laughing. Why I started laughing, I don't know. But God was faithful. They should have arrested me because I had no ID on me. And they ended up laughing with me and went off with the machine gun. My God is faithful. Now there's a third F. Can we have the third one? And the third one is faith in God. Darius said, he delivers and he rescues and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? God does miracles. Unfortunately, in this country, we don't see them as much as maybe somewhere in India. This is a brother of ours called Raju, who has a church out in the tribal area of India. And honestly, every week he has a miracle to share with us almost, doesn't he, William? But these two in particular really touched me. It says in Matthew that if we have faith as a mustard seed, we can say to a mountain, move from here to there. That's all we need. And mustard seed's tiny. Well, he has faith like a mustard seed. And he has a reputation in that village. And people come to him and they say, Pastor, you know, we have no money because they pay for healthcare there. We have no money. Can you help us? And this man here, his name is Romulu. The doctors, he went, he had money. And the doctor said, there's nothing more we can do for you. You've got a very bad tumour. You've got clots. You haven't got very long to live. Well, he came. He was a Hindu. He came to Raju and he said, Pastor, can you do anything for me? He said, I can't, but Jesus can. And he prayed for him. 2 weeks later, he came back. He said, I've been to the hospital and they asked what I'd done. There's no tumour and there's no clots. God had healed him. Completely healed him. And because of that, he then took Raju into his village, which was a little bit away, and said, preach to my relatives. Tell them about this Jesus. The other lady was actually in Raju's church and she had stomach cancer. And she literally didn't have any money to have any treatment. And the doctor said, well, we need to remove the stomach cancer. She said, but I've got no money. Again, she went to Raj and said, Pastor, what do I do? He said, we'll pray. And the church fasted and prayed for 21 days. At the end of that fast, and this is a recent one, it's on the top of the string. When she got back to the doctors, eventually they said, who removed the cancer? She came back and said to the church, it's gone. She was healed. Now, to us, that probably seems, wow! But actually, I could have put 10 occasions on there where he's given us a testimony of how God has healed these people, because they've got no money. They have no one else to trust in. And they come as Hindus and go away as Christians because they can't deny the power of God Almighty. Faith in God. If we have a faith as a mustard seed, we can say to a mountain, be moved, and it can be moved into the sea. My husband and I, we used to live up north in a small fellowship. We used to run a house church. And we had a lady who came to us, who was the sister of someone who came to our church. And she said, I believe God said, if you pray for me, well, it was her mother, actually, she'll be raised up out the wheelchair. Well, I have to tell you, folks, I did have faith, but my faith went to nothing at this point. I thought, Lord, never prayed for someone in a wheelchair. And I feel bad, you know, I don't know whether I've got the faith. Anyhow, we prayed and we fasted, Neil and I, and she came. And we prayed for her. Within a week, she'd walked up a mountain in the Lake District. And within a month, she was working for London City Mission. That's what God can do. Now, I can't say that was my faith, actually. I think it was hers, believing that somehow us praying for her, she was going to be healed, but God healed her. So we can have faith in God. And we need to have faith in God. And the days that we're in, folks, we need a faith in a supernatural God that's going to help us through pandemics, through financial crises, through whatever situation we are in. We have to believe in a God who can remove tumours. He can bring the finance that you might need. He can change lives. And of course, faith in God is very broad, but as a Christian, we've got to narrow it down. Because the good news is we have to have faith. It says there, rescues and saves. And there's only one person who saves. This week, we had some diesel delivered to our house. And he was a Hungarian driver. And I said, oh, where'd you come from? Hungary. I said, oh, that's interesting. We got chatting and I said something about a Christian. He said, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe that you can believe that Buddha can get you to God, that Allah can get to God. And he went on and I said, well, actually, I don't believe that. And he said, oh, he said, well, what do you believe then? I said, well, I believe only Jesus can get you to God. Well, why do you believe that? I said, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. and no one can come to the Father but by me. He was shocked. He was absolutely shocked, and he went, oh. And then he said, well, how is that? And I went into the how God had to provide a sacrifice because we're all sinners. He was fascinated. He was a Christian, he told me, but he'd never heard the gospel. And he went off quite puzzled and praying that the Lord might bring him to himself. But the good news today, folks, is that's all we need. Faith in that Jesus is the only way to God. And if you try and earn your salvation by being a good person or thinking if I do so many good deeds, I'll go to heaven, you won't. It's faith in the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And when we get to heaven, God's going to say to us, why should I let you in? And you know, the only thing you have to say to him is, because of Jesus and his blood. And he'll say, come on in. Now, if that's not good news this morning, I don't know what is. We can never earn our way to God. It's a free gift through what Jesus did for us. So faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.